You were turning your Bibles to Psalm 146, please. Psalm 146. I've been struggling with how to describe the last position of preacher, and so I don't know if that's last choice or Max said I was batting cleanup. So I'm not exactly sure how to define it, so I'll go with number four in the program, number one in my wife's heart. So we'll just leave it there. Psalm 146. Verse number one, we're going to read the entire psalm, only 10 verses. Don't worry, I'm aware of time. I've been told the nursery workers walk out at 8 o'clock and that the food is at the optimal eating temperature very soon, and so I don't want to mess those things up. So Psalm 146, verse number one. It says, "Praise ye the Lord, praise the Lord, O my soul. While I live, will I praise the Lord. I will sing praises unto my God while I have any being." And although I love these two verses, we're actually not going to spend any time on these two verses. These two, along with the last verse, kind of begin and end this chapter with praise. And there's a great lesson there in praise, but we've studied that in Sunday school, and we want to look at the next few verses here. Verse number three, it says, "Put not your trust in princes, nor in the son of man, in whom there is no help. His breath goeth forth, he turneth to his earth, and that very day his thoughts perish. Happy is he that hath the God of Jacob for his help, whose hope is in the Lord his God, which made heaven and earth, the sea, and all that therein is, which keepeth truth forever, which executeth judgment for the oppressed, which giveth food to the hungry. The Lord looseth the prisoners. The Lord openeth the eyes of the blind. The Lord raiseth them that are bound down. The Lord loveth the righteous. The Lord preserveth the strangers. He relieveth the fatherless and widow. But the way of the wicked he turneth upside down. The Lord shall reign forever. And even thy God, O Zion, unto all generations, praise ye the Lord." Father, we thank you so much for this night. Thank you for the opportunity to gather with our church family, Lord, and to spend time worshiping you through song and being blessed and encouraged through the specials, Lord, and the messages. And Father, I pray that you would now take this message tonight. Lord, use me as an instrument in your hand and just help me to be clear and concise with what you've laid on my heart. And Lord, I pray that you would speak to our hearts tonight, and I ask these things in Jesus' name. Amen. I want to ask you this question. Have you ever been disappointed? You ever been disappointed? Raise your hand if you've ever been disappointed. We all have been disappointed. Now, I ask you this. Have you ever had someone let you down before? And I think we would all answer and agree. Yes, Aubrey, raise your hand. Good job. I think she looked at her dad when she raised her hand. I don't know about that. But we've all been there. We've had someone let us down before. And I can say that over the last year, 2016, that has certainly been the case for me with most of my sports teams. I look at most of my sports teams, and they've done quite a bit to let me down. After a promising season last year, I was hoping that my football team, yes, my Catholic football team, I was hoping that they were going to have a much better year. They were contending last year for that final playoff spot. They didn't make it, and all that came crashing down the first game in Austin when they got beat by all teams, Texas. So when they got beat by Texas, you knew the season went down the drain, and so I was disappointed with that, and of course, they ended with a disastrous year. You know, I was hoping after a surprising season last year that IU would have a strong year this year, and it certainly started that way, and beating North Carolina and beating Kansas, and well, since then, they've lost to Fort Wayne, and yes, Fort Wayne has a school, and Indiana managed to lose to them and Nebraska and other teams, and so, you know, not so much hope and happiness there that I find with my Hoosiers with yet another mediocre year. You know, my hopes were tempered for the Colts this year. I predicted them to be 6-10, and they surprised me. They went 8-8, and I was hoping for 7-9 because I wanted Pagano to be fired last week. But anyway, so all of this, you look at all these things, and I had my hope in these sports, and I had my hope in my teams, and I was excited about that, and I was looking for a great year. And in all, with the exception of my Chicago Cubs, who almost blew it, my sports year has been pretty disappointing. Other than the Cubs, everything else was pretty disappointing. Not to mention other things. If we would get into politics and my presidential candidate choice number one and two and three all fizzled out, and then where we ended with that and putting my hope in different things, you could look at that and say it was disappointing. If my hope for 2016 were in sports or in politics or in a person, it would have been a pretty disappointing year. But I can tell you, as I stand here today and look back at 2016, that by the grace of God, it was not a disappointing year. And I'll explain that here in just a minute. What was your hope in this past year? Was it in a friend? Was it in a family member? Was it in a political party or a candidate? Was it in a sports team or a sports franchise? Was it maybe even in a spiritual leader or an employer? If it was, then chances are it was a disappointing year. But where should our hope be? I want to look real quick in Psalm 146. First of all, when our hope is in man, it says there in verse number 3, "Put not your trust in princes, nor in the son of man, in whom there is no help." Can I tell you tonight that when our hope is in man, the result is helplessness. Helplessness. There's no hope at all when our help is in man. Now, it has been the tendency of mankind throughout history to put their trust, their hope, their confidence in man, in things man can accomplish, in things man can do. And it was true for the people of Israel, and it's just as true for us today. But can I tell you something, that when you choose to put your trust and you choose to put your hope in man, you've got to understand something, that man is a human. That man is a human just like you and I. You know, it most likely was written here by David. The psalm is not titled, but many believe it was written by David, most likely written at the pinnacle of his kingship. It would have been before the fall with Bathsheba and the sin that took place there and the death of Uriah is when this would have happened. This would have been, in my mind, I guess, around the time with bringing Mephibosheth into the palace and bringing him from Lodibar as a descendant of Saul and Jonathan and taking care of him, kind of like the height of his kingship. And here he is at the height of his kingship, and he's writing. He says, "Don't put your trust in princes." Don't put your trust in princes. There's no help found there because at the end of day, whether it's a prince or it's a lowly boy or anywhere in between, he's still human. Because this is what David says. He says, you're not going to put it in princes, but nor in the son of man. And the description there would be along the same lines of the description that was given of David way back in 1 Samuel chapter number 16, where it talked about him being ruddy. He was just a young boy. And so David is saying here that putting your trust or your confidence in a prince, which would be at the pinnacle of what you think a man can be and what a man can accomplish, or even a lowly boy, just the son of a man, or anywhere in between, David is telling us that if I put my hope or my trust or I pin my happiness on that, I'm not going to find any help at all. It's going to be disappointing. There's going to be no hope. There's going to be no help. Why? Because he's human. And in being human, putting our trust in any man or any man-made thing, they're subject to like passions as we are, as the Bible talks about. You know, I tell you this today, that man is capable, any man is capable of any sin and likely to commit any sin. They're capable of disappointing you. They're capable of experiencing physical exhaustion themselves. They're faithful of having clouded judgment. They're capable of mistake. All of that is possible with man because we're human. And why would I put my trust in someone that is capable of just the same things I am, and just a sinful nature and a sinful man as myself? I'll tell you tonight that I love and respect Pastor Tidd, but at the end of the day, he's human. I don't know if you knew that, but he is a human. And my hope does not hinge and depend upon this man. I love and respect him, and he's not shown me anything to discourage that likewise. But my hope in 2017 and my happiness in 2017, it doesn't depend on him. I love my wife. I love my wife. She is a blessing to me. She's a great encouragement to me. She's a great help to me, a wonderful mother to my children. She is wonderful. My wife is wonderful. But can I tell you this, that my hope and my happiness in 2017 doesn't depend upon her and what she does, and what she accomplishes, and how she treats me, and what she does. Your hope should not depend on who is president, how your family treats you. As children, it shouldn't depend upon your parents. As parents, it shouldn't depend upon your children. It shouldn't be your favorite sports team or yourself. And if it does, it's going to end in helplessness. David says it right here. He says, "In whom there is no help." Man is just human. But not only is man human, he's temporal. He's temporal. Look at this in verse number 4. He says, "His breath goeth forth, he returneth to his earth. In that very day his thoughts perish." Man's going to die. He's not going to live forever. He's not eternal. Oh, yeah, his soul is, but his existence here on earth will not last forever. We're temporal. We break down and we'll eventually die. Why not put your hope in something that will last instead of something that is not going to last or even outlast myself? But it says there that not only is he going to die as far as his breath and returning to the earth, but it says there that in that very day his thoughts perish. And as you read this and study this, this has to do with his influence and the things that he said and the things that he's taught, that it ends. Although you can carry it in your heart, it ends. It doesn't go on forever. It's not perpetual. You know, when I thought about that and I read about that, I thought about my grandfather, who only one of my three children can remember. And the things that he's taught me and the things I learned from him, and I can share some of that with them. But you know, when he died, his thoughts died with him. And the ability for him to influence the generations ahead in that sense. And so you can leave a legacy after you're gone, but the impact, the influence will eventually wane and fade away. Nothing about you will last forever in this world. If my hope is attached to a person, then my hope ends when they pass away. Now, I think Job sums it up well in Job 14:1 when he says, "Man that is born of a woman is a few days and full of trouble." And that's not where I want to put my hope. But what's great is this isn't where the psalm ends. Is that he makes it very clear where our hope should be. He says in verse number 5, "Happy is he that hath the God of Jacob for his help, whose hope is in the Lord his God." Can I tell you this? When our hope is in man, the end is helplessness. But when our hope is in God, the end is happiness. Happiness. Something man cannot provide, happiness. Why? Because he's God. He's God. We're not going to take time to go through these verses here and break everything down, but it talks about everything that God has done here and the fact that he's created everything. It says he made heaven and earth, that he's the judge. He executed judgment for the oppressed, that he's the supplier. He giveth food to the hungry and looseth the prisoners, that he's the one that openeth the eyes. He's a miracle worker, opens the eyes of the blind and raiseth them that are bowed down. And it's the Lord that loveth the righteous. It's the Lord that preserves the strangers. It's God that does all this. I'm telling you, as we sit there and we've already looked at and talked about what man cannot do, and we see in just one verse what man cannot do. David summed it up with, there's no help, but he spends the rest of the psalm telling us what Almighty God can do for us. And that God that had the power to create, that God that had the power to judge, that God has the power to preserve, that God that has the power to provide for every single one of us is the same God that we serve today. And that's the God that I want to pin and put my trust and my hope on in the year coming forth. And in him is going to be my hope and my happiness in the year 2017. But what's great is not only is he God, but he's eternal. We talked about man, that he's just a human and he's temporal and he's not going to last forever. But here is God who has created everything, who has the power to do anything, but he's also eternal. Look at this. It says in verse number 10, "The Lord shall reign forever. Even thy God, O Zion, unto all generations, praise ye the Lord." When I think about God and I look at this verse here, I see that God's permanent. Forever. It's permanent. That's not going to change. You know, there may be a lot of change in 2017. There was a lot of change in 2016, many of which we didn't foresee or wouldn't have picked or wouldn't have planned. And there may be those changes in 2017 as well, but I'll tell you this, one thing is not going to change, and that's the God you serve. That's the God that you put your trust in. That's the God that you hang your happiness upon. He's eternal, and he will not change this coming year. You can take that to the bank. But not only is he permanent, I see this in verse number 10, he's personal. I love this. He says, verse number 10, "The Lord shall reign forever, even thy God." Thy God. David's writing this to his people. He's saying, don't put your trust in me as a nation of Israel. Don't put your hope in me. Put your trust in God. He's your God. You know what's great? Is that this God that we serve, he wasn't my parents' God. He wasn't just my grandparents' God. He's not my pastor's God. He's not the church member's God. He's my God. He's my God. I can have that personal relationship with him and put my hope and my trust and my happiness in him in this coming year. And no matter what happens or what takes place, he is still my God. And the last thing is this, is he should be praised. O Zion, unto all generations, praise ye the Lord. How can I not praise the Lord when I consider that He is the one upon whom my happiness, my hope, my trust depends in this coming year. Now, I have a lot of hope for this year, and I hope you do as well. You know, I'm hopeful for a change in Washington with new leadership that will sweep across the nation. I hope for my relationships with my wife, my family, my friends to grow and be blessed. I hope to see my sports teams do much better than they did last year. But I'll tell you this, my hope and my happiness for this coming year does not hinge upon those things. Any one of those things can fail me, disappoint me, and even let me down. But my hope and my happiness is dependent upon God. And that God does not change. That God is a personal God, and that God deserves my praise. So let me ask you this. Where's your hope for 2017? Is it in a man? Is it in something that man controls? Is it in something that man can do or something that man can have influence upon? If it is, the result's going to be helplessness. But I'll tell you this tonight, based on Psalm 146 and what many of you have experienced in your own life, and I certainly have as well, if it's in God, then it's going to end in happiness. Because He's eternal. He's a God that is always going to be there, and He's a God that's a personal God, and I'm thankful that my happiness and my trust can be on and depend upon God. Verse number 5, I'll finish with this. Happy is he that hath the God of Jacob for his help, whose hope is in the Lord his God. Father, we come before you tonight, and we just thank you for the opportunity to be in church, and Father, we thank you for just how you've met with us tonight, and thank you for the messages you put on each speaker's heart, and Lord, I pray that you would just help us to respond to how you spoke to our hearts, and Father, I pray that we wouldn't waste time in just making this year the best it could possibly be, and Lord, that we would respond how you've spoken to our hearts, and we thank you for the opportunity we have to put our trust, our hope, and Lord, our happiness, and make it all dependent upon you in this coming year. Father, I pray that you would bless us tonight, and be with the invitation, for it's in Christ's name we pray.